Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Church family, good morning, good morning. For those of you joining us from Emmanuel Baptist Church this morning, we welcome you here. We're so excited that you guys are streaming in live this morning and celebrating the greater thing that God is doing. So what a great morning. I do need to just pause for a moment because I was surprised this morning that an individual who just happened to be vacationing in Robbinsville this weekend decided to bring his family to church this morning. This individual happens to be the very first person that began discipling me in college and radically changed my life. Corey Pendergrass and his family of five right here and his wife Brittany. So just joining us here this morning, wave at everybody, Corey, right there. He's not bashful. Not bashful at all. But just as we bridge into this series and continue to celebrate today, wisdom for the family, I just want to be reminded. We want you as parents to be reminded that the church can never replace what you give to your children in the context of your home. At the same time, we want to say that the family can never replace what the church family can offer and give to your children and to one another as we grow together and study together. And oftentimes, the church is meeting people where the family missed it. And that's a good thing. That's what we get to offer individuals as God brings them in our midst. So for the next few weeks, we'll shift our focus more to this idea of parenting. And hopefully everyone would agree with me today that one of the most wonderful gifts that God gives us is the opportunity to raise and shepherd a child. Sometimes you enter into this role of being a parent. You just don't know how it happened. It just happened, right? Other times, for some of you, you have stories of where you prayed and you asked God for years and He answered that prayer. Some of you have chosen to adopt, which is incredible. And other times you enter this role by marrying into a family. You become a stepdad or stepmom. But the point is this, when God entrusts a child to you, puts them in your life, you have this opportunity for a small span of time to raise and shepherd them with the wisdom and the principles of God. And so here's what I find so fascinating is we don't get to pick what God gives us, right? Some of you, you get that baby that's just relaxed and it's just like, full night's sleep, first thing, just got home from the hospital, we're sleeping good, he's sleeping good. So, and then others, it's just not quite that, right? And so some of you, your child becomes 4, 5, 6, 8, and it's just, they just do whatever you say, and they just kind of go along with it. And then others, you just kind of can have a more of a strong-willed child, or maybe an emotional child, or an energetic child. And so the beauty is this, we accept whatever God gives us as parents, and He entrusts us, and He calls us to this great opportunity of shepherding. Well, the same is true for the church. We invite whoever would come in amongst the church body to come in and we'll meet you where you are and build relationships and study and grow together. But one thing is true that we always got to keep in mind, both as a church and as a parent, that your child, there's this reality that this, one day my child will leave. This is something we've emphasized throughout this series, that when I get this precious gift, there's the reality in the back of my mind that every day that God gives me and you with this child or with people in your life, it's a gift. We're not promised tomorrow. But as parents, one thing that we never want to lose sight of, and as a church, is one day that individual reaches adulthood. One day they get the freedom to leave. They get the freedom to go out on their own. Maybe they go to college. Maybe they go off to work. Maybe they enter into a new home, move into their new home, or start their own family. And the awareness of this is something that we never want to lose, because the awareness that this day is coming helps us to really make the most out of the now. It helps us to say, God, how do I make the best use of my time now to shepherd this child's heart for the time to come? So I think I'd like to encourage us for just a moment with, what if we scratched out that word leave? And what if we, as parents and even as a church, simply said it this way: one day, my child will be sent out. What if we as a church said every individual that comes into this church body, sometimes young — I think the Klein family got here when you were about in the eighth grade in 2010, and others come in at different stages in life, and we don't know where God is going to take someone in 2, 3, 5, or 10 years. What if we viewed every person, and especially our children, as the opportunity to invest in them, because one day God's going to call them to do something great for His name? Whatever that may be, this is the message we always want to communicate as a church. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And we take it as our greatest joy to have the opportunity to do life with you, to do ministry with you, to shepherd you, and to get you ready for what God is calling you to do with your life. And this is the beauty of the church, and this is the beauty of parenting. But I want you to think for a second, when we think about Jesus, that Jesus wasn't married and Jesus didn't have children. But Jesus was sent out from His heavenly Father, from heaven to earth, and He shows us as a church, but also as parents, how to shepherd our children's hearts. And after His resurrection, His disciples are ready. His disciples are being sent out. They're not leaving. They're not going back to fishing. They're not going back to tax collecting. They're being sent out. So just let's remember these words again. Think about it from the point of view of a parent. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go." You feel that? When children become of age, they become an adult, Jesus isn't saying, "Now get out, get on out of here, go on." He's not saying, "I'm done with you, I've had enough with you, it's time for you to go do your own thing." With joy, the resurrected Jesus looks and says, "I've invested everything in you, go." You feel, this is what we get to do as a church. This is what we get to do as parents. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I just want you to see this big picture here, that Jesus had His disciples for three and a half years. If all goes well, we get ours for about 18, 19, 20 years. And He used that time and invested it wisely. And now He says, go. What I have given to you, you now have always with you. But you have something now to give to other people. Can I just say to all of our children, all of our teenagers, that's what we want for you. Wherever God calls you, whatever He asks of you in this life, that you go out knowing who you are and who you belong to, and you're eager and excited to show Jesus off to the world. So if I could just make this very practical, what it looks like for the heart of a parent, for us as a church, we're going to step back into Proverbs 2 and just read this familiar verse again in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Hear it as the cry of a parent. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." Just step back and think about that flowing from you as a parent, for those of you that are parents and shepherds in this room. How would you describe this parent? How would you describe this mother or this father? wouldn't you say, wow, that is a parent that has something very special to give to their children. And they're passionately pleading with their child. Soak this in, tune your ears in, let the affections of your heart receive this, because I've got something to give you that money can't buy. I've got something to give you that's better than anything you could open on Christmas morning or in a birthday present, more thrilling than any theme park or roller coaster could ever give you. So I'm reminded this morning as a church, all the different ministries that flow through this church, from the nursery to Kids for Christ to Sunday school to Craig's to all the ministries, this is always what we're trying to offer, is the wisdom and the goodness of knowing God, knowing His ways and knowing His character and seeing it radically change lives. But then there's always a response for the child or for the person on the other end that we can't force. We can't manipulate them to want this. We can't threaten them to want this. We can't control and force them to want this. Just like the disciples who left their nets and followed Jesus, this has to be something that each individual says, I want that. And in verse 3 and 4, he says, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I submit to you today that there is a treasure, the wisdom of God, that is available to every person. It's the treasure that can continuously be discovered, yet it's still available and there's more waiting to be found. This is what we get to give as a church. And as I wrap up, I want to remind you of this. When the Klein family moved here back in 2010, 2011, I think most all of us who have a relationship with Frank and Jasmine could really just sum this couple up in this way. That if that we just read about is the if that they said, I want it. If there's more available, if there's a study I can be a part of, get me in on it. If there's a ministry I can serve with, let me participate with it. If there's something going on, help me, let me know about it. And because when you look back over the years, you see their involvement in the ministries of this church. I commend Frank and Charlena for always having them here and letting them be a part of all the different things going on in this church. So in case you weren't here, this guy on the right side of the picture, that was that sweet little face that first walked into this church many years ago, full of energy, bouncing off the walls. Oh, you got a youth program? I'll go to youth. And so I got the privilege of coaching Frank for 4 years in cross country. And every team Bible study we did, he was right there, taking notes, asking questions. Jasmine didn't even run cross country, and he brought her to Bible study with the team that met here in this fellowship hall. I want you to be reminded of, actually, can anybody tell me where this picture was taken? It was in 2013, whenever this church was investing in the church in Indiana with ETM and with David and the Thacker family, the Cornerstone Church. Oh, there's a mission trip going. I'm going. There's a youth retreat. I'm going. I'll be there. Always involved, always soaking it in, always asking questions. And for 11 years, me and some other guys and some of the men from this church led a ministry called Camping for Christ. Frank was a camper in 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th grade, but by his senior year, he was one of the leaders. If you see the guy wearing the red Spider-Man shirt with his mouth wide open, how can I help? How can I serve? Can I entrust you to do this? Yeah, I'll do it. I want you to know that Frank's story, whether you're young or old or male or female, what Frank and Jasmine's story is a story that all of us get to partake in, of learning and growing and being a part of the greater thing that God is equipping us to do. And the ministries of this church are constantly getting people ready to do that. So at this time, I'm going to call our discipleship pastor up, Ben Thacker, and he's going to come up and he's going to continue this exciting celebration.
So for my part today, I get to talk about how do we relate to that one that we send out? You know, it's a fun thing when you send someone out. They're kind of gone, and it's very easy to fall into this trap of kind of out of sight, out of mind. Have you had relationships like that? You're really close for a period of time, but then you send them out, and they just kind of, that relationship starts to fade away. And that's a problem. That's not the picture that we see in Scripture. And so the same thing is true as parents send out their children. That relationship radically changes, but it doesn't go away. And so as we think about Frank and Jasmine, we know they're serving 7 hours away from us now. So what relationship are we to have with them? Is there any connection left? What are we supposed to do, and how do we relate to them? And so to think about that, I want to frame a few minutes together in thinking about the Apostle Paul and his relationship with the church at Antioch. So throughout the book of Acts, we see this relationship being played out. But I want us to remember, do you remember when Paul had that Damascus Road experience? How was he immediately received by the other disciples? They were terrified of him. Because even though he was communicating, I've had this radical life-changing experience, they also knew this is the man who was just persecuting and killing Christians. I don't really think I can trust this guy. But Paul continued to try to serve with the church in Jerusalem. But as a result of that, so many people in Jerusalem were afraid that they actually wanted to kill Paul. And so the people in Jerusalem said, the best thing, Paul, you can do is to leave and go back to where you came from. Go back to where you grew up in this little town of Tarsus. And just wait and see what God does. In the meantime, you just go back there and you wait. Now think about how hard that was for Paul. Jerusalem was the center of Christianity. It was where everything was happening. It's where the church was growing. It's where all of those who had the closest relationships with Christ were leading. That was the place to be in the Christian world. And yet Paul was being sent away from there back to Tarsus. But at the same time, God was doing something else. Paul didn't see it at the time, and he had no idea this was coming, but God was at work. And so while those in Jerusalem were waiting to see what God would do, there was this other church called the Church of Antioch. And this church was growing really quickly, and they were hearing the gospel, and they were being excited about what they were hearing, and they were coming to faith. And so those in Jerusalem said, we need to send somebody from here to go see what's happening in Antioch. God is doing something in Antioch, and we want to see if there's a role that we have to play in that. And so they sent Barnabas. They sent Barnabas over to Antioch, and in Acts 11, verse 26 says, when he had come and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with a purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. So he comes to Antioch, and he's so excited about what God is doing because he says, these people are hungry for the grace of God. They see God at work, and they want to understand more of how his grace is supposed to be lived out in their lives. And so what does Barnabas decide to do? He decides to stay. So think about that. He leaves, Barnabas too, he leaves Jerusalem. That would be a really hard move. Jerusalem was a place where Barnabas had deep relationships, where he was getting to do ministry in a thriving church environment, a church that was life-giving and a church that was full of joy and excitement. And he was leaving that to go to Antioch, which was a place full of young believers who were new in the faith, and what ultimately we know have a lot of challenges and struggles as they grew in their understanding of grace. And yet he was willing to do it. But he also said, I can't do this alone. I need a team. I need helpers. I need people here with me. This job is too big for any one person. I need a team. And so Barnabas digs into his mind and he remembers this man named Saul who's now sitting in Tarsus just waiting, chomping at the bit, excited for the day when God could have a role for him in a place that God could use him. And so he goes down to Tarsus and he says, Paul, you are the man for this job. I need you here. I need you to be with me and partner with me in this incredible work that God is doing. And so these two men together, they come. And think about that for Paul. Paul was leaving a place of waiting, which sometimes it's easy to leave a place where just waiting, but he also was leaving his hometown. He was leaving what he was comfortable with, what he was familiar with, and he's exchanging that for a place that he had no relationships and a place that he had no real understanding of their culture. So two men willing to leave very unique and different ways to go help this church because they saw God is doing something, and if we can be a part of that, we want to do it. An incredible story. And so they go to Antioch, and they end up being there for a year, and they help these disciples grow in the faith, but watch what happens. They don't stay forever in Antioch. So over in chapter 13 of Acts, Verses 2 and 3 says this, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So this church was gathered together. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hand on them and, same word, sent them away. So imagine this. Paul and Barnabas, they're a dynamic team. They come to this city and they're seeing God do incredible things. That's a place you want to land and stay and grow to be comfortable in. But even in that moment, God says, I have something else for you. This wasn't your forever destination. This was a place that I needed you at this time, and now I need you for something else. I'm now sending you on to something else. And we know what that something else was. Ultimately, it led to multiple missionary journeys around the known world at the time. So this little church that was excited but needed direction was now, just a short time later, sending out their own to go minister and impact the rest of the world. A beautiful thing was happening. Now, do you think the church at Antioch was excited to send them out? I think they were probably excited. They were excited that God would use someone within their body to bless other people, but I also think they were really scared. You don't lose two guys like Paul and Barnabas without feeling the pain of that. You don't have two leaders like that leave and just things go on unchanged. You don't lose two people you love dearly and not feel the hurt of that. But this church had a bigger perspective than just their own comforts and their own desires. They said, if this is what God is doing, we don't want to get in his way. If the Holy Spirit is setting these guys apart for this task, we want to be a part of that. And so they send them out. Their eternal aim made that temporary pain of separation all worth it. But what did that relationship look like? They sent them out, but what's fascinating is after these missionary journeys, they kept coming back. They weren't gone forever. Their relationship wasn't over. And so in Acts chapter 14, verse 26, they're wrapping up this first journey. It says, from there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. And now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. You see this relationship? They sent them out, but they continued to come back. They continued to maintain relationships because these were people they dearly loved, and they knew these are people that are aiming at the exact same thing as we are, and they're going to be encouraged to hear what God is doing. So as we think about this partnership with Frank and David and Jasmine and Dana and the Emmanuel Baptist Church out in Kinston, this is what we're aiming at. We are sending them out because we have seen God is doing something special in Kinston. He's raising up a group of people who want to understand what it means to make disciples and to reach that part of the state with the good news of the gospel. But they needed help. And God has blessed First Baptist Church with being a place that has individuals who we can send out to go to Kinston for such a time as this. But I also know the heart of Kinston. I've heard their leaders. And what they're saying is, we don't want these guys just to come here and now we can be comfortable and happy and no more pressure because we have people here to lead. They say, we want to become a church that can one day also send others out to reach other parts of the world. That's the goal that they are after. And so as we think about this partnership that we have, God is allowing us right now to play the role of the church in Jerusalem. He's allowing Kinston to play this role of the church in Antioch, and we are anxiously waiting to see how they will continue to grow and develop and one day send out their own to continue this process on. It's all about these relationships. So we love these times where we get to hear from our brothers and sisters, not only in Kinston, but from around the world, and to hear what God is doing and what God is allowing us to be a part of. And so I want you all here at First Baptist to think about this for a minute. Because as much as we love getting to send out our own, we miss them. We feel the impact of them being gone. It's hard. We're not going to deny that. But it is also our hope and prayer that this will continually be the pattern of First Baptist Church. That God will use this to be a place to build people up so that we can send them out. Our aim is to make disciples who live and love like Jesus. But we don't want to make disciples just so this place can be full of disciples. We want to make disciples so that God can look down on this church and say, there are men and women here I can send out for the other work that I have for them to do around the world. And so what does it mean when you come and you sit in these pews? When you give of your time, When you pray for this ministry, when you give of your finances to this ministry, this is what you are supporting. You are partnering with what God is doing beyond these church walls and in these other relationships. Because as a church, this is what we are passionate about, and this is what we are deeply invested in. This practice here, raise up disciples to send them out. And because that's what we are passionate about, that means it changes the programs that we have. It changes the way we structure our budget. It changes the positions we have at church. Because we know if this is our aim, that is going to take a lot of effort and resources to make it happen. But we want you all to see that you are playing a part in this. None of this could happen without the roles that you all are playing individually. So maybe God hasn't specifically called you out to lead a church as a shepherd or a pastor, but God has called you to partner with the work that he's doing in very unique ways. And we are so thankful, because celebrating this day in the life of Frank and Jasmine didn't happen because one or two people decided that this is what they're about. It happened because there was a church who said, our aim is to make disciples who live in love like Jesus. So thank you for your investment in their lives, whatever part that you played. And as we think about Frank, it's fun to see this idea that many years ago, he shared this desire. I would love to be used by God if he would ever see fit for that. And he started out, and over time, this desire started to find, and it found it different ways that could be fleshed out in the youth group and now ultimately at Kinston. So we are incredibly thankful that all that it started out with, Frank wasn't ready to go the first day he said he was ready, but he started out with that desire and a willingness. God, if you would use me, I would love to give my life to you. And when Frank started to see that there's a church that needs help, and there's people there who need to be loved on, and there's a family there who needs a team in ministry, Frank and Jasmine said, we're willing to go. And so my challenge is for all of us to stop and to say, you know what, that could be your story. Even if you're not 18 years old, maybe you're 40 or 50 years old, 60 years old, God can still be calling you to serve him in a new and unique way. Listen to that voice. Be willing to ask the question, God, what do you want for me? It's very easy to get comfortable. It's very easy to find a routine and just assume this is what I'm going to do until God calls me home. Don't start to think that way. Because maybe right now you're just here and this is kind of your Tarsus where you're just waiting to see what God has for you next. So our heart is that every man and woman in this room would have that same desire. Say, God, if you are willing, if you want to use me, I am willing. The answer is yes. Whatever you ask, I will do it. No matter how scary or radically life-changing that may be, the answer is yes. And we want to be a church that when people's desire and they start to see a need that they can fill, we want to be a place that can train them for that role that God has called them to. So it's been a great joy over these last few years to get to train Frank and Jasmine and be a part of their growth as watching the ways, the very unique ways that we had no idea that God was preparing them for the role that he has for them right now as the associate pastor at Emmanuel Baptist Church. So church family, thank you so much for being a part of this great endeavor. Thank you for investing yourself into this great mission that we as a church are deeply invested in. And will you please pray with us? That as excited as we are, that in the last 2 years, we've got to ordain two young men into full-time Christian service. We pray that God does it over and over and over again. As much as it hurts to send them out, we pray that we feel that pain constantly because we want to be a church that doesn't get content and doesn't get stuck with our four walls. We want to be a church that trains disciples and sends them out. So let's keep after that endeavor because that is what God said the mission of his church is. Now I'll hand it over to David.
Well, it is wonderful to be here. So excited to see faces that we know pray, love us, care for us, and just get to be with family again. So we're so grateful to get to be here with you today. It is my privilege in this part of the service really to direct all of the attention to Frank, which is what I know he loves right now. I get to be a part of giving a charge to the candidate today. So please listen in. You're welcome to, but it will be primarily focused on Frank. Watching him grow up in this, you saw back to the picture that Rance had of him as a runner in cross country. Well, at that time when they came to Robbinsville, I had the privilege of being the youth pastor here at First Baptist. So I had the privilege of watching all of that energy week in and week out and trying to corral that and to encourage that in constructive ways. But it was always an adventure. And so it really did provide for a lot of fun and laughter. And then navigating into adulthood, I got to be one of his elders here at First Baptist Church and walking him as he would come to the elders and ask questions and ask us to pray for him about decisions and things that were coming up and wisdom and counsel in that process. I get to be a part of that. And then, of course, for the last year and a half, we've gotten to be a part to work together as a team and serving at Emmanuel Baptist Church, which has been another true delight that we get to be a part of. But if you were around Frank as a teenager and you talked to him for any length of time, particularly when he was really committed to cross country, you would hear about running within 2 to 3 minutes. There would be something that would be talked about with running. It was consuming. He was committed to it. It changed how he ate. It changed how he slept. It changed every dimension of his life. When he put his mind to that, it was very consuming. And I want you to think about in your life that this is a race. This is another race that you get to be a part of. And today could be a tendency or could be a temptation to view this as an end goal or a capstone to this race. But because this is something that you have prayed for, something you have longed for and pursued and trained for many, many years. But resist that temptation. Because this is a wonderful milestone on this race, but it's still just a part of the race that God has brought you through. It has been a joy and a privilege to watch you grow and mature and to be sensitive to the Lord in so many different facets of your life. But being a church that's committed to a disciple-making culture, it gives us that are investing in the life of others a front seat to an incredible journey. And that's what we've gotten to be a part of with your life. There's highs and there's lows and there's everything in between as we get to watch this race. And it has been a privilege to be one of many that have invested in your life up to this point. Well, Frank, my charge to you today comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. And it starts with this. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Peter is talking to a church that has been scattered abroad because of persecution. And he comes to this part in chapter 4 and recognizes we don't know when the end of all things are going to happen. And we can look at our culture and we can look at things that are going on around us and feel like everything is terrible. But recognize it's all part of God's plan. But the first challenge is be serious and watchful in your prayers. Frank, if you are going to be successful as a minister of the gospel, it starts with your personal relationship. Everything has to flow out of that connection that you have with the Father. In verse 8, he goes on to say, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." We talked about this in your ordination council, and it came up in the papers that you wrote for the council, that this priority of loving others, and it has been a pleasure to watch that be modeled in both your and Jasmine's life. Keep at it. That is a priority of our Father. And then it goes on to say in verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Now, hospitality has been something that has been affirmed by the elders as a special gift that you two share together in being able to minister to the church family. It's been a joy to watch that here in Robbinsville as well as in Kinston. Keep at it. In verse 10, Peter goes on to say, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Frank, we recognize the gift that God has given you and your heart to shepherd the flock of God. Recognize that this gift is not for you. It's for the body at large. And so we celebrate that today, that you have the opportunity to share with the body that gift that the Holy Spirit has entrusted to you. He goes on in verse 11 to say, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. As you think about this journey, we recognize is that you have to be completely dependent upon the Lord to accomplish this work. It's not just what you go and do, but it's also every word that comes out of your mouth. May you be a man that continually relies upon his strength for your service, and that the very words that come out of your mouth to minister to others, may that be from God and him alone. And then this passage finishes, that in all things, God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The incredible part of this journey of ordination and being a minister of the gospel is that everything you do has the opportunity to reflect the glory of God, to show him off in all of his capacities. We recognize you're not perfected right now, that this is going to be a growing and a learning opportunity, and you have continued to model and to demonstrate that over and over, this desire to grow and learn and to keep at it. And that's a beautiful thing. Don't ever lose that. But ultimately, this gift has been given to you so that he would be honored and glorified and shown off through your life. Don't forget that endeavor. Now, as we think about, and I want to give you one final note as we get ready to close, the reality with discipleship and getting the opportunity to invest in someone's life is you have the opportunity to have a front row seat to our lives as well. I've been so grateful for that. Because you get to see that the reality of life and the reality of this race is that there are such highs and lows. And there are so many things that we experience as Christians. Being a Christian doesn't insulate and keep you immune from all the hard things in life. And you've gotten to see that. And so even in the midst of what we have gone through as a family and Luke's diagnosis with cancer, you've been there to step in so many different ways. But there's one thing that has come to mind. And when we shared with our church family and began to tell you about Luke's diagnosis, the first card that we got in the mail from somebody here in Robbinsville brought this special truth that is important to remember as you go forward. And it comes from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. But God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, sometimes as we think about this process of ordination, we focus on all that you are going to do and how you're going to help the church. But don't ever forget, in the midst of this race with the highs and lows, God's unfailing, unchanging character and his faithfulness to you in this race. Cling to those promises. We're so excited for what God is doing in your life. At this point, I have the opportunity to introduce and to recognize Frank. Frank is going to come up and begin to share with you the vision that he has for what God has called him to.
Good morning, church family. God is good. We love you very much. It's been almost 2 years since I stood before you up here after we had just returned from Kenya. And it's crazy now, Jasmine has a baby in her womb. A lot has changed. But what hasn't changed is this, God's word. And what motivated us as we were coming back from Kenya, and what continues to motivate us today, is Acts 1:8. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Jesus declared this and then he ascended into heaven. And the early church began living this truth. They were loving God, they were loving others, and they were making disciples. And he called the early church to be witnesses to him where they were. And to make him known. That through being his witnesses, they would be making him known. And that's our aim. Wherever we are, that's what we want. We want to know him, and we want to bring others along as we're getting to know him. And this is what we've seen and experienced over the last 10 years here at First Baptist. Robbinsville's been our hometown. And it's been our base. It's been like our Jerusalem. It's where we've seen this lived out, and it's the culture that we've been raised in, that we've been raised through. This picture of making him known through loving and living like Jesus is so special. I came to Robbinsville in 2010, and I began to see a model of God's love. Through Rance as my cross-country coach and Jennifer, through the youth group with David Thacker and Jeremy and Ben and their families, through the youth leaders that we've got to serve with, through so many relationships that began with an Indiana mission trip, through relationships built during Sunday school and summer family fellowship and life group, through Camping for Christ and men's ministry, through countless studies and small groups, we've been blessed. And we've been able to see God through your lives. Through training for ministry with Colin and training for ministry in the apprenticeship program, so many relationships have shown off who God is and have been deepened through his love. And it's played a huge role in us being raised up in this culture of discipleship. So many of you have been his witnesses and have helped us to know his love and to grow in his love. And it's in being raised up in him and his ways through First Baptist that we've grown a desire to be witnesses to him at IBC and for everyone that we interact with. So Jesus declared to them that they will be witnesses to him in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. And the book of Acts shows us how God worked as the disciples followed Jesus' command to make him known. Starting where they were and spreading out from there. The early church continued to grow out of this vision. And what we've seen here is that this is a focus outside of just Robbinsville. Our 2022 prayer here was to model and minister to IBC in Kinston. And our 2023 prayer is that we will do well in serving alongside IBC to build God's kingdom together. And it was about a year and a half ago that we were sent out for Kinston. And many of you helped us move out on New Year's Eve. And we joined David and Dana, who were also sent out to minister to Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's our desire in going to Kinston, or our desire in going to Kinston was to help IBC develop a disciple-making culture, because we had seen that here. And we want them to know what it looks like to grow as witnesses in Eastern North Carolina. The early church was focused on living this call out to make disciples. So we are too. And it's through our time at IBC that we've continued to see individuals desire to grow in an understanding of who he is and what it looks like to love God, love others, serve others, and make disciples. My desire to serve his church and continue to equip individuals as his witnesses has only grown. And my heart is to serve his church and equip the saints. And God has provided opportunity to do that at IBC. And this is why I've desired to be ordained. Our desire is to see IBC continue to grow in what it looks like to know God and make Him known. To continue growing in what it looks like to love God, love others, and make disciples, and live out the Father's plan for the church. That's what drives us in ministry. And that's the Father's plan for the church. To the ends of the earth. We don't know what all God's going to do. And we don't know where He's going to take us. But what we do know is where He has us right now. And we're committed to His vision of making disciples to the ends of the earth. So thank you, elders. Thank you, church family. Thank you for making Him known, and thank you for loving God and loving others. Thank you for aiming to make disciples who love and live like Jesus. Thank you for prioritizing the Father's plan for the church. We know the impact that it's had in our lives and so many others. It's been so special to see the early church model being lived out through First Baptist. And it's been so special to see how God has worked over the last 13 years. And I cannot wait to see how He's going to continue to work. Not just here. Not just in our lives, but in the lives of those in Kinston. As we live for His purposes. We love you, church family. May we continue to live for the Father's plan and love God, love others, and make disciples. Not just in Robbinsville, not just in Kinston, but to the ends of the earth.
I have been blessed to be one of the youth leaders that was working alongside David. And back in 2010, I met this little mop top 13-year-old at a youth retreat that I had was leading worship at. And this young man came to me crying, wanting his life to count. So to get to share in this is an incredible honor. So just in a few moments, we are going to ask he and Jasmine to come up, and we are going to invite any ministers of the gospel to come up and to pray and lay hands on this couple as we send them out. Now, church family, what does this mean? We first want you to understand there is no magical or mystical power in our laying on of the hands on this couple. But what it is a model that we see modeled in Scripture in this context. It is passing blessing and conveying the authority that God has given to the local church. And so we as fellow shepherds, we are simply asking God to bless this family in their endeavors. We know that God's greatest desire is to bless them and to give them fruits for their labor. But secondly, authority. What does authority mean in this context? Well, we as elders have been very clear, and Frank and Jasmine have been very clear, that this is Christ's church. He gave His life for it. He shed His blood. We're just a part of it. And so as we will do here in a moment, the other part of the laying on of hands that's really neat is that Paul challenged Timothy to don't lay hands on one hastily. So church, what you can be assured of is that this process has been carried out. The same way that that 13-year-old looked at me and said he wanted his life to count, we didn't stick him into teaching immediately. When he sought to be an ordained minister of the gospel, we didn't put him in the pulpit the next week. He began a process a training process to where now he stands before you equipped and he's ready to go out. And so it's been an incredible process. So at this time, I want to invite Frank and Jasmine to come up. And I want to invite any ministers of the gospel, ordained ministers of the gospel, to come up. And we are going to pray and lay hands on this couple as we send them out. For this time, Father, we rejoice in what you are doing in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for Frank and Jasmine, the life that they have lived through this church body, this life they have lived in front of their community, and the life that they are now living in Kinston, North Carolina. God, we thank you and we rejoice the desire that is in their hearts to serve your body and your bride. God, we thank you for what you are doing. We know, God, that you declared that this is your church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And so, Lord, as Frank and Jasmine set out to make disciples who love and live like Jesus, God, may you be there in every step of the way. May they see your glory in every facet of life, the highs, the lows, and all that happens. God, we thank you for this couple and the blessing that they are to this body and the body at large. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, well, church body, we are going to invite them now to come down in front here. This is the end of our service today. We are excited for what God is going to do in the lives of this couple. And we are just so happy to be a part of this. But we want to invite you to come and fellowship with them as we leave today. But come back this evening and see us tonight at 5:30 and rejoice in what God is doing.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.